Let's talk about the war in Ukraine and its impact on the people there. In just 3 weeks, life for millions of people has become unrecognizable. But with so much going on and so many distressing pictures and stories flooding our screens, it can be hard to keep track of what's happening where. So let's run you through it. We're going to start with some numbers that help to show the scale of all of this. Now, the UN has confirmed 691 civilian deaths, but says the real number is likely much higher. And officials from the city of Mariupol alone say 2,500 residents have been killed. Ukraine's got a population of 44 million people. Around 2 million of them have left their homes and fled to other parts of the country, mostly to the west. More than 3 million have left Ukraine altogether and crossed into neighboring countries like Poland, Romania, and Moldova. Most of them are women and children, because men of military age, those between 18 and 60, are banned from leaving.
A papa оставили в Києві. І папа буде продавати щось, буде допомагати нашим героям, нашим військам. Будет помогать, может даже будет воевать.
We lost our life, our safety. We cannot plan any future because we don't know what will be tomorrow.
The families I've met here along the border, they tell me that our plan basically stops here. Our plan was to get to safety, and now we have no idea where we're going next. We need shelter, we need an income, we need money, we need to survive.
When it comes to what people still inside Ukraine are dealing with, well, it varies depending on where they are. So far, the war has mostly been concentrated in the north, the east, and parts of the south. You can see the areas that Russia now controls and where its forces are operating. Kherson was the first major town they've managed to take control of. There have been big protests there against the occupation, but also reports that food and other supplies are running low and people aren't able to leave. Then there are several other towns and cities that are still holding out against Russian forces, but at an enormous cost, like Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, where entire neighborhoods now lie in ruins.
This street in central Kharkiv shows you just how devastating the effect of Russian bombing of this city has been. An entire street totally destroyed.
Hundreds of thousands of people did get out, but around 500,000 are still there, and the shelling hasn't stopped. Chernihiv in the north is another place where things are really bad, and residential areas are also being bombed. One attack hit a square where people were lining up for bread. Local officials say 47 people died.
Those who are still living in these besieged areas where there is intensive, you know, shelling, fighting going on. Daily life is very much about sheltering in a basement and trying to survive on the food, the water, the medicines that you manage to kind of stock up on before it started.
The big problem right now is to bring the food from where it is to where it has to go into these cities. The supply chains are completely disrupted. You know, bridges have been bombed. Supermarkets are empty, trains, have been destroyed, trucks have been destroyed, drivers are worried to drive to these places.
One of the places people are particularly worried about is Mariupol, which has been almost totally cut off, with around 400,000 trapped there. It's surrounded by Russian forces, and for the last 2 weeks, they've been attacking relentlessly. This is where there was an attack on a maternity hospital, which Ukraine's president has called a war crime. There are reports of bodies lying in the streets, and the authorities have resorted to mass graves to bury the dead. There's no running water. Food and medicine are running out. Shops and pharmacies have been looted. Communications are down. There's no electricity, and it's freezing cold.
Воды питьевой нет. В квартирах 10-12 градусов.
Просто не поймешь. Просто мира.
Газа нет, все замерзают. Продукты нет, мужики мародерят. Ну это страшно, так нельзя.
There have been attempts to get a ceasefire in place so that people can get out and aid can get into Mariupol. But they haven't really worked. So far, only 2,000 cars have been able to escape. Another 2,000 are still waiting to leave, according to city officials. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is watching what's going on in places like Mariupol and Kharkiv, and they're bracing for the worst too, especially in the capital, Kyiv, where Russian forces are closing in, and the fight is getting closer.
Now that's the entrance of a residential building here in the north of Kyiv. And just take a look at the damage. You can still actually smell the burning.
The center of the city has been heavily fortified. Shops are mainly closed.
Субота пусте місце повністю, на жаль. Все не працює.
Але каву знайшли ми.
Half of the city's population has left, according to the mayor. And those who have stayed are mostly sheltering in places like basements and metro stations.
For those who remain in Kyiv, life has moved deep underground. Here they hope to be safe from Russian bombs and missiles, but they're all holding their breath for what's coming next.
Okay, now let's look at what's going on in the west of Ukraine. There's no big presence of Russian forces there, although there have been some attacks, mostly targeting military facilities. Lviv is the main city in the west, and it's still functioning relatively normally. There's a nighttime curfew, but during the day, people are out on the streets and going to work. Lviv has also become a hub for NGOs and a transit point for supplies coming into the country.
In the western part of Ukraine, everything is more or less okay, and you can buy all necessary things in the supermarket or shops. And actually, what we are doing right now here in Lviv and other cities, we are buying and getting everything what we can get and trying to send it to Kyiv, to other cities, especially in the eastern part of Ukraine.
But Lviv is also dealing with the arrival of hundreds of thousands of people who fled from other parts of the country.
It's a huge displacement crisis. People there have two basic strategies. The first one is to stay in a relatively stable part of the Ukraine, or they stay just for 2 days and continue further west to Slovakia or Poland.
Even if Western Ukraine is relatively stable now, will that last?
There is certainly a growing sense of unease here in the city of Lviv, because in previous nights there were air raid sirens which sometimes lasted as long as 3 hours. And we know that those sirens are linked to the increased number of Russian attacks on targets in Western Ukraine.
In each discussion I had here during the last 10 days, there was just one word: we want peace. We want peace to come home, because we want to live our normal lives as we did before this Russian invasion.
If you missed it, check out our last episode about why NATO is ruling out a no-fly zone for Ukraine. Click the link here to watch, and don't forget to subscribe to this YouTube channel so you don't miss our upcoming episodes.